Talk Shoe.
Recorded live.
Welcome all to another episode of the Household Stress Talk Show for the Married Man. We got one rule tonight, no profanity. Everything else, it is what it is. The topic for this evening, do you believe the grass is greener on the other side of the fence? What's keeping you on your side? Start off by saying, and this may be a little controversial, but I think the grass can be greener on the other side of the fence.
Wow.
I agree.
I agree.
We got some people that agree?
Yeah, I agree. Grass is always greener.
That's right. And they say,
I don't know about the grass always being greener on the other side of the fence.
I don't know about that, EMP Town.
It's always green because the grass ain't got you. Because once grass gets you, then it ain't green no more.
Listen, the way I look at it is just because, you know, one person uses Scotch and don't have no weeds in their green.
Yeah.
You know, this other person's grass is green, but it got weeds in it. You just can't see them.
Okay. All right, but you got weeds too.
And I got weeds too.
Yeah. I mean,
but
so,
I can control my weeds. I can upgrade the Scotch and help my weeds out.
Okay.
But I go over there, I can mess up that other green, and it may not be the same after I get to it.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. I understand.
If that makes sense.
I mean, the way I look at it, it makes sense. The way I look at it, like, you know, my man lived down the street from me, and his grass is greener than mine. So, yeah, his grass is green, but let me move in his house, then I'm pretty sure his green grass is going to be looking like my grass look right now.
Might have some dandelions and some
crab grass, you know.
Good word.
I mean, I get that. And what they say normally is the grass isn't always greener on the other side.
Well, it depends on what's greener. What does greener mean?
Yeah, but I think that at some point we look to the other side, wondering, what's the possibility of that grass being greener than the grass that I got? And, you know, and me speaking from experience, I've been married once and divorced. And the whole time I was married, I was thinking about that green grass on the other side. And now I got that green grass on the other side. So I'm here to testify. It can be greener on the other side. I'm not saying we don't have weeds, but I got a lot less weeds.
Wow. I agree, because I was married to the wrong person, too, my first marriage. And, yeah, you know, I didn't even know where to look for greener grass. You know, I just happened to fall up into it the second time, which is good for me. You know, and I agree with you, man. I mean, you know, It's all depend on how green you really think your grass really is.
Exactly. Especially when you get into a relationship at a young age, you don't really know what you want out of life.
Yeah.
You know, and you're constantly like, yeah, this is okay, but there's got to be something better. And I don't know if that's a good way to think, but it's just human nature.
Self-preservation.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's human nature, but the question, I mean, but is it a good way to think? That there's always that possibility that there can be something better out there for me?
I don't think that's a good way to think, and I think it goes back to what both of you brothers said earlier about, you know, now you have the green grass. It goes back to, did you even have grass to start with? I mean, you probably had AstroTurf or that stuff that grandmama put on the stoop or the porch that looks like grass. It's green, but it ain't real grass.
Yeah. He said it ain't real grass.
It's that sod they put down.
But no. Remember, y'all, we talking about marriage. So we married. We got married. So there had to be some grass.
Right.
You don't just marry grass. I mean, you don't just marry crabgrass. You want to marry the grass, the green grass.
No. When you marry, you plant the grass seed together.
Okay. All right.
You know, when before you marry, you know, she got her dirt, you got her dirt. The soil, hopefully, y'all mix the soil together and y'all put some fertilizer down there and some grass seed, and now y'all got some, you know, you're building your lawn together. we're talking somebody who already has something established, family, kids, that somebody else has handled. Now you want to go and, because you're not happy with the way your lawn looks, you want to go and work on their lawn. But you don't know how that lawn got that way. You don't know what's underneath that.
Okay.
That can be fake grass.
Okay.
That could be fake grass, meaning, and I'm just going to stop using that terminology because we all are grown folks here. Mm. You're just faking around the bush. You excited about what you see on the outside when you go outside your home.
Mm.
It's curb appeal. That's what you're going to look at.
Curb appeal.
No.
Is it the same when you walk in the house?
It's not curb appeal. It's curve appeal.
Now, I can testify to that because I got some friend girls, and I ain't going to lie. Right now, they single, and the bodies are banging. And everybody know that as soon as they get married, some of them relax. You know what I'm saying? Some of them relax. I mean, it's just how it is. I mean, you know, and so women know. Men are visual. So, you know, they know when they single, they keep up their outside appearance, so their grass is always green.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but some women, man, when they get married, man, you know, they start letting that visual go.
Mm-hmm.
I feel sorry for that dude, you know.
Well, yeah. I mean, I understand, but I want to know. I mean, in life in general, we're always looking to get better. We're always looking to move up, and I want to know how marriage gets exempt from that. Like, we always want better jobs. We want bigger houses. We want nicer cars. We want better vacations, you know. And when you get to something where, I mean, and you want a better job because the job that you have, you pretty much hit the wall, and either there's no advancement or there's not enough cash. One or the other, you know.
This is real easy. I mean, I'm sorry, but it's
go ahead, go ahead.
When you get older, you get wisdom. Some people get wisdom quicker than others. And some things, you know, are you know, there's perpetual improvement. When you get married, it's not one of them. You know, when you pick someone to grow old with, you accept the fact that, hey, you know, as she get older, naturally her looks are going to fade. They may fade more rapidly, but, you know, if you love her, then you're willing to accept that. Same way with vacations. If I don't get a raise and I can't keep making bigger and better vacations every year, then I have to have the wisdom to say, I can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
I think wisdom is the common denominator in all that.
Honestly.
Yeah, but I think the good point was made. I mean, we use common sense in every other aspect of our life. Why is this exempt? I mean, it's a legitimate question. For some reason, you know, you can track down, go out there, hire somebody, headhunters can come after you. You always update your resume. You always tighten up stuff to get things going. You're always putting down or adding to your toolbox, your skill sets, in order to attract that next opportunity. If it need be. And sometimes you even seek out that next opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we do that with everything else? With this function of our lives?
Mm.
I mean, it's a legitimate question.
It is. I think it is. I mean, old people get divorced too.
Yeah.
older wisdom people wait till the kids get old and move out. They don't have to take care of them anymore, and then they split.
Yep. Marriages get divorced too.
Because you can't put a relationship that is bound by a contract with you bound by God that says death do you part, and you can't commit that like a job. You can't say, well, if I update my resume and I want to move on, I should have that ability to move on.
Yeah, but even with that, there are provisions set to get out of that situation.
But he says only in adultery.
And abandonment.
So wait a minute. Abuse ain't in that then. Right? So that means that all these people, and not trying to get crazy with it.
But go ahead. I see where you're going. I like where you're going.
I see where you're going, but keep it. Yeah.
Like
an abuse relationship and you just getting your tail whipped, hey, you're supposed to just stick it up. Might be missing a couple teeth, might be broken.
Feet down be part of abandonment because now you're putting your hands on it. You don't care nothing about that. You're abandoning.
No abandonment. I'm still coming home. I'm still taking care of things. I'm still doing stuff in the house. I haven't gone anywhere. I'm just a horrible person. That's not abandonment. Yeah, wait a minute, hold on. Rodney, I know you the dictionary guru. Could you pull that one up?
Abandonment? Let me see what I can do. I have the dictionary sitting right here, actually.
I know you do.
We know you do.
Yeah, the unabridged version.
Wikipedia now, because anybody can put anything in Wikipedia.
Exactly. I got the unabridged version where I got to thumb through some pages, so y'all keep talking while I find it.
But I think y'all made a good point. I mean, you talk about abandonment and adultery.
Yeah.
So now, how are these people getting out of these marriages, then? Because here's the thing. If you put it in that perspective, the grass is greener on the other side of those people, because in that yard, ain't nobody getting their ass beat. I mean, right?
Well, I abandoned my ex-wife. Left. Rolled out.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's pretty much how I did it, too. You know, but, I mean, and it had to be done. There was nothing left.
It was either me or that was it.
Yeah.
Yep. And sorry about the cussing. You said that was the only rule, and I already messed up.
That's okay. It's okay. It's okay. But
yeah, I found abandon, and it's to leave completely and finally, to forsake utterly, to desert, to give up, discontinue, withdraw from.
Mm.
Yeah.
And a man is supposed to love a woman like Christ loved the church, and to accept divorce. I mean, divorce is major. I mean, and I understand the abandonment angle now. I mean, and that's exactly what I had to do.
But there was a reason. Now, and I've already said, 80% of the time I was in my first marriage, I was looking at the green grass on the other side. A variety of it, to be honest with you.
Mm.
You know, and because I knew that there had to be something out there better for me. Point blank. I said, this can't be it. This misery can't be it. And a lot of it was self-inflicted. I will admit that. But still, in the fact, the life that I had wasn't the one that I hoped, you know, that I imagined to have being married. So I always said, there's got to be something, someone out there for me.
Can I counter that, brother?
Please do.
When I was in my first, everything I saw was a desert. Nothing was better than the patch of grass I was currently living in right then and now.
You got to repeat
that. You had that Bermuda growing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. As far as I was concerned, I was on Kentucky bluegrass, Tiger Woods turf.
Golf course.
Yeah.
As far as
happened.
I was concerned.
You talking about your first marriage?
Yeah. The one I had to abandon.
So you was on the good grass and you just rolled out. Something had to happen in between.
Well, what happened was grass didn't want me there no more.
Oh.
So what do you do in that situation?
Yeah, I mean, you know.
You had to walk the desert, try to find another patch of grass.
You play the hand that you dealt.
Exactly.
Play another course.
I found another golf course.
Yeah, there it is. Well groomed and maintained.
When they call AstroTurf. Now I found real grass, so I'm good.
Right. Exactly.
With roots, deep roots.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now I just want to, like, but how, like, to the people on the phone that haven't been divorced and that's been in that one marriage, you know, how do you stay focused knowing that person is the last person you're ever going to kiss intimately, hug intimately, have intimate conversations with, be butt naked in front of, take showers with, you know, I mean, all these things, get old with, be the only one taking a vacation with, gaining weight together, eating at the same place. I mean, how do you grasp that where it's like, this is it? Or has it sunk in yet?
I think it's pretty easy because, like the brother said, I mean, if you realize you got deep roots, it's all right to grow old together when you're in that situation. But if you got AstroTurf, you know, you can't even cut that. You know, it'll just tear up in the lawnmower. I mean, it's not authentic. So I think that you know, one thing I think that if we do have grass, I think that we have to be grateful for what we have.
Sure.
And, you know, literally, I think that's step one, because it's guys out there who would love to have some grass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've been planting seeds, you know, to and all that good stuff, and cultivating, and it never really turned out to anything. So, well, I mean, to your question, it's pretty easy when you know that you got the real thing. You know, it's the like the brother said, the Kentucky bluegrass. So it's like, sure, like you said, your first question, sure, it's some more Kentucky bluegrass out there, but does it matter? I mean, it's like you're swapping one for the other. And with the other, you got to start over. You know, you got to do the whole dating thing, build the relationship and everything. Well, you already got that with your current, so it's like you just trading. It's just a different type of Kentucky bluegrass, but it's the same. You know, it's one and the same. Like you said, you'll still have some weeds in there, you know, no matter what kind of grass you get. So.
Yeah, but dating's fun, isn't it?
No.
Yeah.
Dating's not fun?
No, no.
It wears off.
Yeah, it used to be.
Hold on. Dating's not fun? In the beginning of a relationship is the best time.
Yeah.
I would think.
I think yeah,
everybody's on their best behavior. Everybody's lying. They're on their best behavior. Anything goes.
Yeah, dating
when you were
is
back
fun.
In your 20s and teens, yes.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. But we older now. It's like, yeah, no.
That's a lot of work now for all that.
Thank you.
Especially
bro.
When you've been with somebody and you know you done got used to this one person. Now you got to relearn the differences
yeah.
and everything.
Yeah.
And
you know.
After being married for 9 years, it was horrible for me in Zanzibar. Boy, that's a comedy show right there.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, but doesn't it get? I mean, it's got to be. I mean, they named the syndrome after this. The grass is greener syndrome. Put a name on this thing. So that means people are actually actively looking at the other side of the grass. You see what I'm saying? 50%, I think one out of every two people that get married get divorced because somebody can't keep their eyes on their own grass.
I think what it is honestly, and this is just something that I've pondered here for a while as we talked about it. I think what happens is that it's almost like reality pornography. And what I mean by that is the fact that if I'm always looking at the grass on the other side, I can then sometimes have the same impact and same effect as sitting in my house and watching pornography. And what I mean is when I'm sitting in the house sometimes in the past and every now and then now I might look at a flick or something,
mm-hmm.
same type of energy that I get from watching that and then wanting to come up and do things, I can get that by looking at the grass out there and then wanting to come home and do things. And I think for some people, and I think at one point potentially for me too, I might have acted that out. Because there's been times, and I don't know if other people can relate to this, but you go out, you have a good night of dancing, hanging out, drinking, whatever, kicking it with your boys, whatever, kicking it, blah, 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 blah. And then you come home, now you've been looking at the grass out there all night. Your girl ain't there, your wife ain't there, whatever. And then you come back home and you play that stuff out. And that's not saying it's right. But I think that it's a reality version of really having that type of pornography. And that's another way I think of looking at the grass on the other side and how it plays out for relationships. And people can do that. I mean, people do that every day. I mean, for women, it might not necessarily be going out and drinking and doing all that stuff, but they'll be at work with their work husband. They have a little crush at work. And before you know it, bam, they're back home. And you're like, hey, girl, I mean, what? You know, and that's because she went to work, had good conversations, got her questions answered, was listened to, and all this great stuff that got her in the mood to be able to come home and deal with your crap. So the grass on the other side plays out for them, too. It's not just for guys.
I appreciate that.
Oh, I kind of see it sometimes. I really think that sometimes that's how people are able to do this grass greener on the other side type of thing and how it works out and why sometimes people are able to answer the original question, stay together for so long and be comfortable with the idea of I got to be with this person for the rest of my life. Because here's the thing. If I got somebody at work that I can go and talk to and I'm spending a lot of time at work like most of us are, most of our life, over half of our life is probably at work
yep.
from this stage in our life on, and there's somebody nice there, and I ain't got to deal with all the crap, all the craziness. Every now and then we might hit a happy hour with the whole office or whatever, blah, 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 this, that, and the other. And this person's nice, and we can joke and whatever. And we talked about this is going to be dangerous at the workplace. But we flirting and doing all this other stuff, and it never crosses a line. that definitely makes it a lot easier for me to deal with the grass I got. But I'm still playing with the grass on the other side.
Yeah, that's a dangerous game to play, trust me.
I'm not doubting that, but I think the original question was, how do people say, with this person for all these years, grow old together, get fat, do all these things, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I think that sometimes that plays into it.
So you think the outside interference helps?
Well, I don't know if it helps, but I'm just saying that I know that it goes on.
It's a temporary high you're getting from that emotional affair, because what do you do when I know some people at my job doing emotional affairs right now. What do you do when that person that you're at, that you're with, leaves, or you get reassigned somewhere, and then you don't have that social reliever there to deal with every day at work? All you got now is your wife.
You're right. I mean, and I think that's probably when things start to creep in. Problems probably at that point start to come up a little bit more, a little stronger. But,
yeah.
I mean, for some individuals, that's how it works.
Oh, yeah. I know people like that. Yeah, definitely.
And I think it might actually get worse, once they do move on, because you can still contact them.
Yep.
Multiple ways. I mean, you got Facebook, you can text them, you can call them, and that you can get into more intimate conversations that way than in, the office chat or the happy hour, so it can take a turn, unfortunately for the better, in that relationship, and a turn for the worse in your own relationship.
Yeah. And one thing he said that I don't necessarily agree with, and I think it's a good idea. I mean, it sounds real good, but I don't think it's realistic. If you're out with the boys, hanging out, having a good time, having a couple drinks, getting wired up, then you come home and you want to finish it off with your wife. From experience, that doesn't always work out, because you might catch some drama when you get in the house. I'm just saying. If not from not being with her, you're out with your boys. First of all, that's a drama situation waiting to happen, And then you're coming in, you want to get it on. Sometimes married women have a difficult time dealing with that, comprehending the fact that you've been out having fun with somebody else, and now you're there, the last stop.
That's a game that you're going to lose eventually, because enemy has been dangling that little meat in front of you, and that temptation, and all affairs start in the mind first, okay? And I'm going to tell you from experience, you think you can control it, and then one day one of them's going to call you on it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then you're going to either have to shut up or put up. And that's probably not the situation you want to be in. And I'm just telling you from what I have gone through in my life, that game, it leads to nothing but heartache and headache, because at best, what's the best thing that could happen? I mean, what? You just get the thrill of having somebody interested in you? Okay, then what? Then you start thinking about her more. Okay, and then the lie is, and the deception is, all you see is the good side. All you see is the fake that she wants you to see. Okay, you don't have to lay next to this one when she's farting on you. Okay? You don't have to smell that morning breath. You see this fake deal put in front of you, and you think that's the real deal. Okay.
That's a good point.
Then here's the deal. Let's just say this was the woman for you, and you married the wrong one. See, I've heard all this sitting in our living room. Okay. Right? And you leave her for this one. Let me tell you what. We counseled a couple last year that went through that same exact deal. 3 years later, this couple's been married. Now they're sitting with us because they're having issues. And you know what this woman said to the husband? What lies did you tell your wife to come see me?
There it is.
Okay. So, I mean, at the absolute best, what are you going to get out of it? Okay. Now, he's feeling terrible. He done left his wife and two kids, married this next one. Mm-hmm. Okay. Feels like crap. I mean, there's nothing that you're going to get. And you know what? Then he gets with her, and you know what he says? You know what? I don't think I ever loved her.
Wow.
Okay? So when it comes down to it, see, I've seen the result of it. I have lived through it myself, thought I could play the game, and got caught up. Okay? Got caught up because I thought I was in control. And she called me on it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you've been playing. Meet me at the hotel.
Challenge your manhood. There you go.
Right.
Wow.
You've been playing.
And that might be one of them nights.
Walking by me and rubbing against me. Okay. All right. Now what?
And it might be one of them nights where you, like the host said, you coming in. You know, you done had good times with the fellas, and it's like, you know, she's almost asleep, and you trying to like, hey, you know, what you want to do? And she's like, nope. And then you're like, I'm leaving. Next thing you know, she's like, hey.
You see, you know. And then you find yourself making excuses to leave the house.
Yep.
Getting in arguments to leave the house. Hey, I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me when I tell you. And here's the thing, and we tell this in our class all the time. I don't care how green the grass looks. Up under the grass, there's always dirt. I don't care how good that lawn looks. You rip the lawn up, what you got under it? Dirt. And the other thing, and I haven't been here all night, but the other thing, I was watching an infomercial about 2 years ago, and they had on this infomercial, I couldn't believe it, spray paint for your lawn.
Mm-hmm.
They said if your lawn is sick and dying, don't get it healthy. Just buy the spray paint. Nobody will ever know. So all that woman on the outside that you think the grass is greener, you know what? She got that fake stuff. You don't know what's real or not. It's spray painted. And any woman that knows you're married that's willing to step on that, what do you actually have?
There you go. You know, I got a friend that's having an emotional affair right now. And he, you know, he hasn't crossed that known line yet, so he thinks it's harmless. And so I ask him all the time. I say, "Hey, do you tell your wife about your conversation you had with your friend?" No, I can't tell her that. She wouldn't understand. Okay, well, you shouldn't be having that conversation.
That's right. Now, the other question I'd ask is, what if the roles were reversed? Would you be okay with your wife doing what you're doing?
Wow. That's heavy, but it's real. I mean, he just said, you know, there's a work husband and a work wife.
Well,
you know, and I'm not okay with the work husband at all.
Nope.
At all. Because I know what it can lead. I know what a work wife could lead to.
Yeah.
Especially if I'm involved. That's why I'm not gonna have no work wife.
But is anybody on here a work husband? Is anybody on here a work husband? Like somebody's work husband?
No.
Go ahead and break it down if they don't know what it is. Go ahead and break it down.
I'm there.
Yeah, go ahead, P. P can break it down.
No, I just want to know, define that.
Yeah, I mean, basically, some lady at work is, see, we got a guest number 8, so he is. See, I knew I had somebody, you know, where you go in and it's a lady that literally, I mean, it's like y'all husband and wife at work. You know, you talk, you know, you meet at the water cooler or the coffee pot. You're talking about this and that. And, you know, as they say, you get the tingles. It's like, you know, wonder what she going to have on today. You know, that kind of stuff. So y'all know what I'm talking about. That's why y'all laughing.
I mean, but listen. Do you categorize it as having an emotional affair?
Absolutely. And like the brother said, I mean, he couldn't even tell his wife, you know, about the conversations. Because he know it ain't right. So he like, no, she wouldn't understand. You know, it's like, yeah, right. She will understand. That's why you won't tell her.
Wow.
You understand exactly what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, it happens. It happens every time at work. You know, and I think that it shouldn't. But, you know, if home ain't right and you need somebody to talk to, what you going to do? And you're seeing these people at work, you know, and they're friendly and they seem harmless, you know. But like Andrew said, you know, it's the beginning of something horrible. Could be. You know, anybody got any comments on how not to get in that kind of situation? In reference
yep.
to, go ahead.
Just
on.
Say no.
Just say no.
Bottom line. Okay, here's the real bottom line. All right, if you wouldn't be okay with your wife doing what you're doing, don't do it.
There you go.
Okay.
You,
when you're sitting at that bar or wherever you're sitting, or sitting in that cubicle, if you would be okay with your wife saying what you're about to say to some old Negro on the other side, then you do it. Okay, here's one thing. What are you going to say to your kids when it comes out that daddy done stepped out? How are you going
to
look
so, hold on.
Shame hits you.
Not to cut you off, but so now we're categorizing the work husband or the work wife as stepping out.
Well, there's no difference. Well, not adultery explained by Jesus Christ doesn't talk about just physical.
Yeah, well, I mean, the adultery explained by Jesus Christ, everyone on this phone is guilty.
You're talking about Skippy Wright because she was
when she was guilty. Matter of fact, we all committed it today.
Well, I don't know all, but yeah, we, you know.
I mean, it is what it is.
You know, when you look and go, that's not the same as you know, you setting up a situation. When you start thinking about somebody in a situation where you're not supposed to be, that's really where the problem begins.
Yeah.
Okay, when you're thinking about another woman, you know, that really is where the problem is. You know, I mean, you can look at somebody and she'd be attractive and you go, wow, she's attractive. But that's not the same as, man, I can't wait to get to work and see so-and-so.
Mm.
You know what, I'm going to see when she gets up and gets coffee, and I'm going to make sure I need some coffee then, too.
You're right. You're right.
Oh,
you're
man.
Right. But there lies the bigger problem. And I think that's the root of it. The grass is always greener, or the grass could be greener, because there's something lacking in the marriage.
Yeah, and I think if we took the same effort to date our wives, and to romance our wives, because, you know, there was a point that we had that with our wives.
Uh-huh.
And then we let life get in the way.
Mm-hmm. And there was a point. And there was a
point. Effort to court and to date our wives, we could have the same excitement with them.
You're right. And there was a point that our wives were was merely a representative, too, of our wife.
That's right. Okay, and then we got with her and found out the real deal.
The real deal. You
okay.
know what I mean? So now
like she
so
found
now,
out the real deal about us.
Yeah, but the real deal might not be that attractive.
Okay, but you know what? This one on the outside, that's the representative.
Sure.
And some of us have to go through the cycle many times to figure that out.
Yep.
I mean, how many 10-year cycles can you afford to live in your life?
Yeah, I mean, but at some point you got to get it right.
When you realize that there's nothing that one woman can give you that the next one can't, and you make a decision that you're going to be the man that God called you to be,
mm-hmm.
and honor that covenant, you know what I mean? Usually the problem lies within us.
Sure.
It's not... It's generally, you know, not to say the wives don't have problems, because they do too, but looking for that from someone else, your happiness is not going to be found in somebody else. And that person, your spouse, is not going to be the one that pleases and makes you happy. If you don't have joy in your heart, I don't care. You know, I guess it depends on what you're looking for. If, you know, 34, 24, you know, 36 is what you're looking for, and yours has punched out a couple of kids and put on, you know, some pounds or but doesn't have the same deal that you thought you were getting, you know, if that's what love is to you, you know, I mean, everybody's going to get old, ugly, and fat.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I deal with senior citizens, and I'm going to tell you what. I have never seen a 90-year-old walk into my office and me say, damn, she's fat to death. And I want me some of that. Okay? That ain't the way it is. But I'm going to tell you what. I have seen mature love in 90-year-olds that, to me, is a beautiful, beautiful thing. I've seen husbands and wives, 95 years old, married 70 years, with a love that is so intense, it's amazing. See, that's what real love is. And I've talked to them. I'm actually trying to get one of them to speak at our class.
But
married 74 years. Imagine that.
But that's a rarity.
Yes, it is. But that's what true love really is.
Yes.
And
that's
a
rarity, and it's a good example. It's a good example.
Yeah.
But 90-year-old people don't have that many options. People in their 30s have a lot of options.
They don't.
But you know what? Bottom line is there's a bunch of people that are old and miserable with each other.
Yes,
okay?
Exactly.
And they may stay together because that's what it is, but they don't have love. See, true love isn't, okay, we stayed together. Okay, that's not true love. There's a whole bunch of people married and miserable.
Mm.
Okay, but to be married and truly in love at any age is amazing accomplishment, and it's a decision because love is an action.
Sure.
Okay, love's not a feeling. There's many days that we wake up and we don't feel like loving our wives. And there's many days that our wives are unlovable.
Gotcha.
Okay, and just like there's many days that we're unlovable. But, you know, if we're called to pattern ourselves after Christ, there's many days that to Christ, probably every day we're unlovable. But he loves us anyway because the decision isn't up to us, it's up to him.
Yeah, but that's a hard comparison to compare that to a marriage.
It is, but that's the standard we're called to.
I mean,
we're trying to strive to.
I understand that. But some of us just aren't that strong to say, okay, I got to love this woman with everything that I got, especially even the fact that it's not the same, she's nasty, there's arguments, there's drama, I'm being questioned everywhere I'm going, the romance is different. You know what I mean? Certain things that you were promised because of actions have changed.
Okay.
And we're only human, so then what? You know, well, I'm just going to keep doing it. I'm going to keep being miserable because I have to abide by these rules. Or what? Or what do? You seek out some options. I mean, I think that's human nature because we talked about it before. We seek out options in every other aspect of our life, but marriage is exempt.
Well, let me ask you a question. Why would you allow that to be an option?
Why would you allow
a third party to be an option?
Well,
why would you allow divorce to be an option?
Well, it's just like a quarterback. You know what I'm saying? Your first option ain't open. So you got to find another option. I mean, as bad as it sounds, but like I said, one out of every two people find another option.
Okay.
Yep.
And I'm going to tell you what, when divorce is an option, when stepping out is an option, and it seems, you know, people are like water. They're going to take the path of least resistance.
Sure.
If they think that divorce is the path of least resistance, they'll take it.
But it might not even be divorce, though.
Okay.
It might just be stepping out.
Checking out the next one. Because if you say it may not be divorce, what is the purpose of having that outside affair?
Feeling.
What is the ultimate purpose?
Well, maybe just to step outside of your drama, your misery for a little while.
Yep.
Okay.
Temporary relief because, I mean, some people do it. They got children. They got houses. It may not be feasible for a divorce.
Okay.
But they still want their happiness.
What you're saying is for temporary happiness, you go screw this other woman, all right, and then come home. And you say, okay, once a month I'm going to go out and screw this other woman just for my temporary sanity.
Why is it got to be once a month?
Give me once a week.
Well, because
it's once a week.
Start out once a month, and it's going to go to once every 2 weeks, and it'll go once a week. Then you'll be over there 3-4 times a week.
Okay.
So that's the way it works.
Yep.
Because you start out saying, I'm going to hit this one time. You don't start out saying, I'm going to leave my wife and destroy my family for this other woman. That's not what happens. That's not the decision that's made.
Yeah.
The decision is, I'm going to hit that, and I'm going to sneak it and get away with it. It's never, I'm leaving my family for this little thing on the side. That's not how it happens.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, it does happen that way, too, and it could end up to be a disaster. But what about it? What about the man that says, you know what, I put it all in, I've tried this marriage, I've tried everything, it's not working, and I still have needs that have to be fulfilled. So what do you do?
Just stick it out. You stick it out. That's honest. I mean,
you know, the bottom line is this all about you?
I mean,
you got to ask yourself, is it all about you? Is this all about you and your personal happiness?
You know, I think when you're married, I think you're connected, and I think if your needs aren't getting met, then I'm almost certain her needs aren't getting met.
Yep.
And y'all got to talk about it and come to a happy medium. I mean, you know, that's just the way it goes. It's not just, you know, well, she's not doing it for me, or she's always fussing, she's always giving me static. I mean, shoot, she got needs too.
And generally, and we have never sat with a couple where it's all one person.
Yeah.
Okay? And the bottom line is, and this little thing on the side, whoever she is, or she could be the finest woman in the world, or whoever she is, if she doesn't have respect for your marriage, what kind of woman is that you want to be with anyway? Or
I mean,
is it just about you? Do you not care about her? You just care about your needs and getting your rocks off. And she doesn't matter. So you're just going to use her.
But I want to go back to what brother said, just stick it out. That doesn't sound like too much fun. You know, that sounds miserable.
No,
just like,
that's horrible.
Dig it out, you know.
What about making it work? What about figuring out what the problem is and seeking a solution to the problem? Most people that are married, at one point, there was happiness.
Yeah.
Okay, so what about figuring out what happened between the point of happiness and the point you're at there? Something went wrong. Generally, people don't get married to people that they're just horrible and miserable and there was no point of joy.
That's because it's too easy.
But getting married?
It's too easy to go back and try to figure out what it is. That's because that's the proper route. Nobody wants to do that research. Nobody wants to dig up because they might find out something about themselves.
That's the bottom line. And I'll tell you what, as my wife and I sit with many, many, many couples,
Andrew, just do me one favor.
Uh-huh.
Tonight, don't be a counselor. Be a husband.
Oh, I didn't know you were interested like that.
Yeah. I want Andrew right now. That's who I want right now, Andrew. Because me and you getting ready to talk about it. Because you know how we do it.
And for me, if I was talking to you, this is what I say, man. I've been there, I've done it, and it ain't worth it.
Okay.
Okay. So look at my kid's face after I have let them down. It's not worth it.
Gotcha.
So look at the man in the mirror and looking back and say, how did I let it get to this point? It's not worth it.
I can tell you what. If it was me talking to you, I would tell you, man, you know, it's worth it to work it out with your wife and go on and help her release that inner freak. So y'all can get on the same level, because I can tell you what, ain't nothing in the world better than doing something that feels so good, it's got to be wrong, and it's the right one. Mm. Boy.
I'll tell you what, it's cheaper to keep her.
That's a trivecta. when you turn it into that freak you want, boy, I'm telling you.
But okay,
it can
okay
happen.
Now.
It can happen.
You gotta want
it to work, though. You gotta want it to work.
You're right, and it's easier said than done.
Yep.
Yes.
Nobody said it was easy. I'm just saying now.
It's easier said. Like, it sounds good, and I'm pretty sure we could say it ourselves. Work it out. Hang in there.
I'm talking about change. Help her bring that beast
date
out.
Your wife, all that stuff. But somebody said something earlier in reference to the beginning versus now.
and now you got someone that is different. It happens. This person is different. This person is not the same person that you thought you would get.
Yeah, I mean, but if now the only, now there are some things, like I said, you know, with my first marriage, if the desire and the physical attractiveness is not there, and no matter what, you've tried everything, you've exhausted everything, and it's not working, yeah, you know, then you have to start really talking about, you know, possibly getting a divorce. I mean, if you're not satisfying her, she's not satisfying you, and y'all have tried, then you talk about getting a divorce. You don't go out and cheat and find an enabler, you know, to keep the marriage going, you know, for a couple of more years, whatever. No, you know, you have to start, because you're just wasting each other's time. It's like, look, if I can't do it for you and you ain't doing it for me, and I done gave you the best I had and you gave me the best you had, we got to talk about this thing. Because, I mean, it's like, you're going to end up hurting somebody cheating, because you might cheat with someone who's a lunatic, and she might do something to your wife, or, and, you know, there's some crazy people out there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You bring all kind of drama in there. I've seen it.
Mm-hmm. And look, trust me, I agree with you. I'm just asking the questions. I do agree with you 100%. But, you know, it doesn't always work out that way, and we know it. You know, and a situation where you don't cheat, and you're in your marriage, but your mind is somewhere else. And I think that could be just as detrimental. You know, your mind isn't there. And it could be the same with your wife. They're coming home going through the motions every day, you know, and they're not cheating. They don't have anybody on the side, a work husband or none of that stuff, but their mind is elsewhere. You know, I think that's just as dangerous. That's borderline, you know, ready to find out what's on the other side of the grass. And how do you get that mind back right? How do you get to the point where they focus back on the marriage opposed to going through the motions, being numb, just, yeah, every day I got to get up and go to work, take the kids, drop the kids off, come home, cook dinner, go to bed, that's it. And that's what happens in most of the marriages. We've talked about this a lot of times, where people have to schedule nights, movie nights. They have to schedule time to be together.
You know,
you see what
I'm saying? I took some advice from this group. Because me and my wife were going through that, you know, getting stuck in a rut, as I like to call it. And when it came time for a date night, you know, didn't really have nothing planned. So, you know, I started putting forth some effort and planning something. You know, I talked to my wife and found out what she liked to do, what her interests are. And, you know, that's what we started doing, you know, when we had a break from the kids. And, you know, I can tell you, you know, it paid off big dividends for me. I'm straight.
Now, that's what's up, my brother, because, you know, Tony's on my street talking about the routine and the scheduling, and I know some other brothers disagree, but, you know, I know, like you said, if you don't schedule the time, the time where you do have a little bit of time to catch a movie or do whatever, it's like you almost don't even get excited. And it goes back to the point, and it may not even happen. You know, it may just be like, well, I'm tired, you know, if you didn't really put forth any effort to do anything. But it goes back to, you know, what somebody else said about, you know, dating. I mean, it's almost like, oh, man, Friday night, we're going to catch this movie. You know, I'm going out with wifey. I mean, you get a little excited when it's on the calendar, you know, versus like, yeah, the kids are asleep, it's Friday, what do you want to do?
You know,
I'm tired. I got a headache.
Just recently, I surprised my wife. I know she loved to shop. I snuck, got her a room at the Ritz-Carlton in Pentagon City. That way I could sit in the hotel, watch the game, hotel connected to the freaking mall. She can go down there and lose her ever-loving mind, because she hated when I go with her because I always rush her.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I ain't even got to worry. And I tell you what, you would have thought I was the king of the Prince William or whatever.
Especially,
you know,
in that spot.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong in that hotel.
I'm just wondering, brother, you know, how are you getting all this information and, you know, doing all these baller and player things, and you haven't been on here lately? Where are you getting it from? Well, you just...
Well, no, I got it from you guys. You know, you don't want to tell me to schedule a date night.
Oh, okay. I got you. So that's all. I got you. So he took that around with it. Now,
I know my wife
liked
the shop. So
yeah.
I got a hotel next to the mall. So I said, hey, you can just walk downstairs, and you in the mall.
Yeah, what I was talking about was like a movie on demand and some microwave popcorn. You know, you done stepped it up. You done raised the bar, brother.
Well, I mean, you know, this ain't often now. You know, that was just one time. You know, on the weekend we usually hear anyway. You know,
exactly.
You know,
yeah. Me
right
too,
here.
Brother. Me too,
right.
Brother. Good
right.
Word. Good word.
Right. But it was just something just to let her know that. Instead of me thinking like, oh, you know, you stuck in a rut, or why is it you're not focusing on sex? Why are you always talking about working the kids and all that? I said, hey, what do you want to do? And then once I did that, man, once I showed, you know, I put her wants first.
Yeah.
She took care of me.
Exactly. And that is the key statement, brothers, that we have to step up as the head of households and take that initiative. Like you said, you went, communicated, said, honey, what do you like to do? She like, well, I like to do this or that. You knew some things, but she put an idea in your head where it basically, you reap the benefits.
Yeah.
You know, but you had to take that first step. You know,
yeah.
you had to take that initiative. I think that's the key statement in everything that you said right there.
Mm-hmm.
But when you were dating, you didn't have to do all that.
Well, when you were dating, too, because my wife was woman enough to explain it to me. When we were dating, yeah, she went the extra mile because, you know, she knew she wanted to get married. So, you know, she played the game. All women do.
Mm-hmm.
That's the part that just, I'm not, it's not sitting well with me.
Me neither.
Uh-oh.
Me
neither.
Uh-oh.
Brother.
I mean,
you done hit a button there, brother.
Yeah,
what,
go ahead.
What, she played the game?
I think it's kind of crazy because here's the thing. It's like, okay, you're playing this game and you're doing this stuff in order to get me, and then you shut it down, but yet I'm just supposed to, I'm bound by God and laws. And
that's right.
And try to talk to you and bring it back, and then I'm supposed to, whether you balance it out or not, I'm supposed to keep giving 100,000% and keep going because, I mean, does that even make sense? Because here's the thing. When your job is no longer doing what it needs to do, you start looking for the opportunities. When your investment opportunities start going the opposite direction of where you'd like them to be, you start looking for other opportunities. I mean, just think about all the other things in life. When your health starts going the other direction, you start looking for a new doctor and opportunities to get yourself back where it needs to be. So why is it that I got to sit here and try to balance this when the things that I expect aren't necessarily happening? And think about it. We do it with simple stuff. If you walk in the Golden Corral and they ain't got the shrimp and they told you on Wednesday that the shrimp was going to be there, you're frustrated. And you're going to leave. And that's simple. That's very simple. So when you get in a marriage and things aren't necessarily being kept up to the degree that you would expect them, or purchase a car, or purchase a home, or like I said, with an investment opportunity, or your job, or a neighborhood you're living in, you don't just say, you know what, I'm going to go in over here and I'm going to try to keep talking to these people and hope that they can keep their trash and people in their yard and keep the noise
okay.
down. At
okay.
the same point, you get on the phone, you call the police.
I love it. I love it. Can I put a point out there real quick? I just got a simple question. I love how you're hitting it with the black and white. I love it. Either or, no gray. I got a question. Everybody on the phone is married.
Uh-oh.
Is it going right now in your marriage the way it was going before you was married, when y'all was just dating?
No.
No. No.
So why haven't you left? Why are you still dealing with that job that ain't gave you that promotion? It said it was going to promote you. Why are you still working there? Roll out.
This is
because they ain't they ain't took him to the Ritz and put him, you know, up in the mall in the hotel at the mall, you know, connected to the room. They ain't done it yet. And I think I'm joking, but I'm serious because I answer that question. I say that my marriage is absolutely, you know, better than when, you know, and I'm 12 years in a couple months. But I'll tell you that we hit a rough spot. We, just like every, and the thing about it was that I took the initiative, and the thing that I did, which I've told y'all many times before, is I got two books, the same books, and I, you know, I sat my wife down at the table, about a year and a half ago. I say, this ain't working for me. This ain't working for you. And we talked about separation. You know, we talked about, you know, how we're going to do these kids. I mean, it was a brief conversation, but it was not a pleasant conversation. And it wasn't the conversation that I envisioned 12 years ago when I'm standing at the altar, like, that I'm going to be having a conversation, like, how are we going to separate the kids and the assets? So I took the initiative, and I went to the bookstore, and I got two books, The Five Love Languages, and I've told y'all many times before.
I got that book.
It changed my marriage, like, night and day. Like, I know how to better relate to this woman where I was literally doing it all wrong. I wish I had it on day one, but and to your question, it's better now than when we were dating, and we got the kids and the bills and all that drama, but it's better now than when we were dating. I'll say that.
And what makes it better?
Because we know how to relate to each other now. We know how to love each other, each other's language. I mean, it's key, because the whole time I was you know, loving her and relating to her like I wanted to be loved. And that didn't work. So I had to figure her out after knowing her 16 years, which I thought I knew her, but I really didn't.
Knowing doesn't guarantee execution.
Exactly.
There you go. Exactly.
And that's the difficult part behind some of the things that can, I've known for me when I say, yeah, you know, things ain't where you thought they were going to be right now, because it's like, man, just execute. And the part that, like I said, doesn't sit well is the fact that, like, I gotta keep making these in my mind sacrifices, and all I'm asking for is at different points, why don't you make one?
Well, let me tell you something right now. Let me stop you right there. I used to approach it where if I put in A, I'm gonna get back B, but you can't do that.
Yep.
I mean, you can talk about it. And you can say, hey, you know, if I do this, I would like for you to do that. It's known, may not always happen, but if you want it to work, you got to put your pride up on the shelf, and you got to try. If
right.
It to work,
so I put it on the shelf, and it's collected the dust. I no longer know where it is. I lost it. I can't even find it. At some point,
hold on now. I ain't gonna lie. Sometimes you know, if you really talking to her, you know, you find out what she like, you doing it, and she ain't returning the favor, you gotta talk to her like, look, man, what's going on now? I think I'm meeting you more than halfway.
Right.
What's
but that's why I said knowing isn't always the execution, because I think sometimes what is really easy to say is like, oh well, y'all got deeper problems or something, blah 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 blah. I don't think sometimes it's it. I just think women literally, and I've always said this a lot of times, is they just don't have a firm grasp on what being married, being a mom, being a wife, being a sister, still being whatever, all this stuff entails.
Let me tell you something, and this is the problem that my ex-wife had. There are some women out there who are so connected to outside influences such as mamas, friend, girls, sisters, and whatnot, that they have no freaking idea what they really want.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are married to something like that, and you have a problem. Because I made sure my second wife, if I asked her what she want, boom, she could write it down, and I knew that was it. Certified, verified. Because I tell you what, I went through that with my first marriage.
And you took her to the Ritz, and what happened? You reaped the benefits.
Yeah.
And she told you what she wanted. You were like, okay.
Yeah, she wanted to go shopping. I said, okay,
yeah,
cool. And I said, where can I go shopping where I ain't got to go shopping?
Yeah, like,
get the room connected
said,
to the mall.
Right. Listen. Like he said, that doesn't happen all the time. If that happens every 6 months, if that happens every year, once, if that happens every, who knows? But
right.
It's not an every week thing.
Right, absolutely.
Okay. Now, Rodney, you said that your marriage is better now.
Yes.
Than it was in the beginning.
Yes.
And I kind of find that difficult to believe, only because I know certain things. And this is not personal that I know personal about your marriage. I'm just talking in general.
Sure.
I know there's certain things that happened in the beginning that aren't happening now. And I know this because I'm married.
Yep.
I know this because I've been on these calls. I know this because we tend to say, okay, well, guess what? You know what? It just ain't going to go down no more, so let's move on and not think about it and do something else.
Right, and
I think
that's
we
what
learned,
is happening. They just wear us down, and we just deal.
We just deal. We just brainwashed to believe, guess what? It was good when it was when we was getting it, but it ain't happening no more, so let's just move on and think about something else.
Right. And the honest truth is, like, I think what ends up happening, to answer the question that was posed earlier, well, why you ain't leave yet, is because now you do have, I mean, in all honesty, you do have too much to lose. You are, you know, trying to do the right thing and be a man of God and all these other things. So you're not just going to dip on out there and be like, you know, feast, forget it, whatever. You're going to continue to try to put it in. All I'm saying is that it doesn't necessarily sit well to still have to always just be able to say, well, you know what? Not going to use this hat anymore. Might as well put that hat on the shelf. I mean, why do I have to do that?
Yeah.
I mean, it should be something where we're able to continuously equally put in stuff and go above and beyond, because they real quick to tell you what a man's supposed to be doing.
Yeah,
real
but
quick.
But I think
and society brother, on the whole, well, a man's supposed to be doing this, a man's supposed to be doing that. That's a man, you should be doing this. Okay, great, got it. But when I'm knocking that out of the box, because that's what we're all doing on this call, then don't expect me to sit well with some of the things that aren't necessarily happening. Because it's just, that just seems a little crazy. And here's the thing, I'm not saying we got to, I mean, I'm not talking about doing stuff every night. I mean, that's crazy. And I'm not even talking just about the intimacy and the sexual side of it. I'm talking about all other things that we talked about last week, like remember to lock the door.
Yeah.
So stuff like that you would expect that, all right, why do I have to just be okay with this? And I just got to accept the fact that we might get murdered tonight. I mean, why do I have to accept that?
But let me tell you something, brother, something you said that, and you're talking about that you're knocking it out of the box, and we all know that you absolutely are. But would your wife say the same thing? I mean, are you focused? Are your priorities her priorities? I think your standards are, you like, yeah, I got this. I got the college plan lined up. I got the, you know, got the job situation. I got, boom, career lined up, everything, house payment paid. I mean, everything is good. But your wife, she like, I don't even really need all that. I need something different. Where you say your standards, you like, oh, I'm knocking it out of the box. You know, the brothers are, you know, we all doing it. But your wife, she obviously needs something else.
Did you know how that crazy it is that simple things like what you just named, the security, a genuine sense of security, ain't your language? So you know that doesn't do security with regards to investments, college funds, home, financial stability, job. That does nothing.
It doesn't do nothing, and it absolutely does something. But I don't think it takes as high as a priority as it does with us, because that's what we're, you know, I'm just like you. I've got my college plans, the retirement, you know, I was out of debt before I bought this truck last, you know, Christmas or whatever. But, I mean, so the whole thing is that we are so focused on just driving, just getting a career and, you know, making sure everything is on time. But they just like, yeah, you know, it's almost, and don't get me wrong, I don't think they take it for granted. I do think they appreciate it, but it's not their focus. I think that they almost expect you to do all of that.
They do.
You know, and
they
the
do.
Thing about it is that, okay, I need some more on the emotional side. And
okay, but
me
I'm
going to
flip it then.
Yeah.
Then I expect you to do some things and to keep some things the way it was when we started. Because here's the thing. You all married and doing all these things. All of you have mentioned that you're married or married again or whatever. From day one, you was handling your business with regards to getting your jobs and all these things. That stuff hasn't wavered. So they've expected that. And if you were doing it, they'd be in your face telling you every day what type of man you are not.
Oh, yeah, well, they wouldn't even be with you if you were.
Right, yeah. They'd have been and got some more.
They'd have rolled out. That's any woman, man. I mean, shoot. That's
the other side, and what I'm saying is that my expectations is then you ought to still be where you were at the finish line. It's like when you think about it, when you're running a race, any race, 10 relays was on television. They were doing all that stuff, getting ready for it. When those people start the race out, they finish just as strong as they started the race. You don't get lax. And what you just talked about is they're not taking it for granted, but they expect it. So what's wrong with me expecting things to still be where they were?
You're looking at it the wrong way. And I think that I've said it before, that you're looking at it almost like equal. And we know that if you and your wife were to run a race and y'all trained and everything,
you will beat her every time.
But it's not about who finishes first. I'm just talking about effort. Because here's the thing. Our effort can be equal. Because here's the thing. I can finish the test in 5 minutes. You finish it in 5 hours. We both get 100%. I'm just asking you to definitely compete. I'm not asking you to finish at my pace.
Let me just say this.
I'm just saying that the level of commitment and drive and expectation and all the stuff that you put on me, I'm maintaining from day one, do the same thing.
Let me put this in bottom line perspective right here. I'm gonna change the angle here, and I apologize, but I was in the military. You know, I traveled all over the world, and one of our biggest problems is culture. Our American women, especially our African-American women, they are not taught to embrace their beauty. They're not taught to embrace their sexuality. Some of them, unfortunately, are even taught to use sex as a weapon, as a means to get by to a final destination. And it's a lot of competition out there all over the world. And there are women south of the equator here in South America. I would tell you this, in Spain and other countries, They don't put sex in as a power card. You know, their mindset, their culture mindset is, hey, if my husband wants sex, I give it to him. And I give it to him as if it's an art. I practice it. I make sure it's right. You know what I'm saying? I make sure it's like, you know, top level. I make sure this is the best thing that I can give my husband. I don't give him no problems. If he wants it, I give it to him. American women, it ain't happening. And that has a lot to do with culture. And you could just tell in the way that women overseas are raised versus American women. And you know, there's a lot of cultural barriers that we're facing here. Because our women aren't taught to accept, you know, they're not taught to accept their sexuality. You know what I'm saying? You guys get what I'm saying?
Yes. So we get a lot of window dressers, just dressing up the part, but don't know the role.
they don't really know. They don't, and they're not in touch with themselves.
Yeah.
But see, the thing that we're missing, and here's the thing that we're missing, is the fact that at one point they were.
Right.
At one point they were, because we never would have put that ring there. I mean, there's a few people that got married. And then they were intimate and weren't intimate before. But there's just a few.
That's smart.
The majority of us, we tasted the water a little bit before we tied that knot. So we already knew what to expect. We were already promised certain things.
Right.
And now we have to accept the fact that they're not in touch with their sexual side.
Like a breach of contract.
We got a lot on our table. There's a lot on our table that we have to figure out how to accept and how to discount and say, okay, I understand that was then, this is now. I understand we were younger, now we're older, whatever the case may be. But these things still make you look on that other side of the fence to see if the grass is greener, period.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
It's
unavoidable.
Yeah. It's human nature because you're like, okay, I got this. This is green. You know what I mean? It's green. And once it was blooming, now it's just green.
Yeah,
you know?
I think what y'all are missing, and again, the brother really reiterated it a few minutes ago, but it's something, and don't take this the wrong way. I know I'm going to get some tomatoes. But
because you want to put it back on us.
Thank you.
That's what you want to continually put it back on us, and what that tells me is that your wife has done a good job with you.
Listen,
if you rewind what I just said, I took the bull by the horns. I went to the bookstore, I purchased the books, and I sat down with my wife. I said, we're going to read these books. And she looked at me like with a look like, whatever, bro. You know, we done tried this, we done tried that. It ain't going to work. But we'll try this little thing if it makes you happy. But she wasn't on board. You know, she was just like, whatever. You know, she wasn't, we're going to get our marriage back on. No. She was like, whatever, man. You know, so I mean, but it goes back. I took the bull by the horns. I was like, something needs to change around here. I'm not happy. You're not happy. But it's put back on us. And just like the brother, he went – Perfect example. Went to the Ritz-Carlton. He didn't go to the Redskins game, you know, and I mean, he did something that she wanted to do, period.
Yeah.
And it's all, as we, happy wife, happy life.
I'm sick of that expression. There's two people in the marriage. Why is it all about her? That's the bottom line. And it's real simple. I think that expression is really simple. There's two people in this marriage. But why is the jingle just about her? My life magically supposed to be happy because she's happy? Now, that doesn't mean I'm getting the things that I'm expecting. She's getting everything that she's expecting, and then some. I'm going to the Ritz-Carlton, I'm you know, putting books on the table, and we reading all together, and knickknacks and all that stuff, blah, blah, blah. What I'm saying is that my life is supposed to be happy because her life is happy?
Now, Rodney.
Yes.
Rodney, real quick.
Yes.
Now, and I heard about the books, and I'm glad that that worked for you.
It did.
But when I say it worked for you, are you 100 after doing these books that made y'all communicate better?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And now you know how to treat each other because you know what each other wants and expects.
Yes.
Okay. So now that you know this valuable information.
Yes.
Okay. Is that flame still there from the beginning?
Yes.
Did all those things bring the flame back?
It did.
Or did it just make more peace in the household?
No, it brought the flame back because I keep telling y'all it's more emotional for them. Like when you tap into that emotional side, the brother from the Ritz-Carlton know what I'm talking about. If you tap into that, that's when you gonna that flame. It'll be a roaring flame.
But here's the thing: as head of households, this is my question. Then, well, what you just laid out, in order for me to get the fire roaring, I got to do something for her first. How am I the priority then if I'm second thought? Because I'm getting the benefits after the fact.
Well.
Sorry. You know what I'm saying? Like,
brothers, hold on. Before y'all jump on right there, you know, this is the Ritz-Carlton brother talking here, a.k.a. bring the freak out of it. But I will tell you this, man. You got to start this thing off like this. You got to talk to your wife, and you got to talk to your wife standing on the belief that you want it to work. You got to know you want this thing to work.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you got to approach it. You don't have to approach it like, all right, listen, chick, 2 weeks from now, I'm going to do something really nice for you that you want to do. And when I do it, I better get what I'm looking for.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You just got to approach it like, I'm doing this because I love you and I want this marriage to work.
And brothers, she will respect that. How's she not going to respect that? That's admirable to literally genuinely say, I want this to work for us. She got to respect that. That's it.
I'm
going to tell you like right now, when you walk away, you can walk away clean. Because trust me, I had to walk away myself. Because you know you done everything you could do.
Wait a minute, real quick, who won the Celtics?
Miami won that game, man. It looked like the Celtics had nothing for them.
Won it again.
It looked like Miami won. I mean, I stopped watching. It was up like by like 12.
But I want
to go back. I didn't mean to break up the call. I just realized the game was going on, and I'm not watching it.
Yeah, I want to go back to what somebody said earlier about, and I think it was the Ritz-Carlton dude. Is that
right?
You can't,
man. I'm tight, man. I live right down the street from you.
Yeah,
man.
I know. I like Ritz-Carlton better. I like Ritz-Carlton better. But what Ike said was very important, and I think it is key that I don't want to be missed. Is that you got to humble yourself in the fact that just imagine if you do the Ritz-Carlton with the mall and that's what she wanted to do and you didn't get any afterwards.
Woo.
I mean, that's wrong.
But listen, hold on.
Lord have mercy.
I have to stop you. I have to stop you because the reason why I don't want a shallow picture painted of what we're asking.
Right.
That it's all about sex because it's not.
Right.
Not all about getting some, because that's not an issue.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? I'm pretty sure we all get some. That's not it. There are other things that come with that. Like, people tend to believe that men aren't emotional. Men aren't
on our sensual, that we don't like the same things. We don't like to be hugged and nurtured and all. We do. We like to be, you know, hug me and all that and hold my hand and give me a kiss in the morning, at night. We like that stuff.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So, and certain things that we ask for is not just about, okay, well, I'm not getting oral sex anymore.
Yeah.
That's small, but that's an issue, but that's small. So when you say didn't get any, you got to figure out all the things that we want that we're not getting after
right.
we do something like that.
Because I agree. I think the sexual side of it is just one little small,
right.
little tiny head of a needle point. What the bigger piece is it being acknowledged.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of times what ends up happening is that they come to expect or take for granted, whatever way you want to put it,
yeah.
and the lack of being acknowledged with regards to my feelings, my expectations, my desires, it's not even there. It's not even acknowledged at all.
But listen to what I just told y'all, though. You got to be more patient. Because I think that we're in this society where it's immediate gratification. Like, literally, I told y'all, I got the book, sat down, told the wife, and I was expecting, you know, her to just be like, great, you know, I'm just so excited. For like the first 2 or 3 weeks, she was just like, all right, are you ready to do that? I mean, it was she begrudged it. So I think that you have to learn to be patient, because it's not going to be that overnight or that week later or 10 days later, it just changes. It's going to be a gradual process, you know, back to getting that passion and that flame back and that intimacy back.
I'm
so would you prepare
like
to
this.
Keep being patient if the book didn't work?
Yeah, I would have tried something else, but go ahead, Ike. Go ahead, Ike.
But I'm going to tell y'all like this, you know, it wasn't just the sex that I was looking for. The main thing that I was looking for was consideration of my feelings and what I want. And I did get that, because I tell you like this, like last week my wife came to me and she was like, well, you know what, you want a bike next year, let's start looking at bikes, let's get you a bike. And I was like, cool, well, you know, there's some used ones on eBay. She was like, no, let's look at getting you a new one.
Wow.
You know, that was just out the blue. Because, you know, before that, it was like, it was just not even a discussion in this house.
Wow.
And, you know, that's just her, you know, okay, he's being considerate of me.
Yep.
I'm going to be considerate of him.
Amen, brother.
Now, I ain't saying it's going to work for everybody, because everybody's married to my wife. So now I don't know what
you're not saying. And you're not saying that conversation came about because of the Ritz-Carlton either, right?
Right, right, absolutely. Okay.
Yeah, but, you know, I disagree. I think that absolutely it can happen to everybody on here. I just firmly believe that everybody can have what I have, what you're talking about. I firmly believe that.
And it can happen if you approach it, wanting it to work, and if your wife really knows what she wants. And I think it can happen, you know.
Yeah.
Good words, good words. Good
words.
Well, we missed the 10 o'clock monkey wrench. And I normally don't do monkey wrenches, but I want to talk about something else here at 10:30. We might get a little spiritual here at 10:30, but it's all good. We're going to do what we do. I want to talk about the attack on your marriage. I want to talk about, does anybody know when your marriage is under attack?
Yes.
Me and Rodney have talked about this several times in private. We have been there for one another when we felt the attack was coming on us. I was warned a long time ago when we started doing these calls that the attack was going to come. Anytime you're trying to do something good, getting the household, head of households together to be better, making the household stronger, the attacks come. And I've seen it. I've seen it with me. You know, in a situation where just recently me and my wife were on the outs. And I'm not talking about knock down, drag out, one of divorce outs, but just your typical small stuff that I let fester and turn into something huge to the point where I wanted out mentally. But I wasn't going to act on it because I was just mad about certain things. And then I started thinking of, you know, the things that she's not doing. I was placing emphasis on all of that, questioning the fact whether she was the right woman for me, that I didn't want to be around her, just going on and on and on. And I had to stop and think, wait a minute, hold on a second. This is the woman that you said God gave you. And I even started to doubt that. So when you start to doubt that, and then it was to the point where I didn't even want help. I didn't want to go to a marriage. I didn't want to do nothing. I was like, man, I am done, you know. And then I had to realize, I had to go back to the conversation that I had with a friend of mine. He said, that's what's going to happen. That's how the attack's going to come. And you have to understand that it's not what it seems to be. You know, so needless to say, I snapped out of it and got back to normal. But I had to realize that it was an attack. And I think that certain times we don't know that our marriage is being attacked from something else, some demonic or whatever you want to call it. We don't realize it, and we just think that that's the way it is, and we act on it. Now, does anybody else have any examples of when they knew that it was an attack?
I can give you one example. My mother would say something that, you know, would cause me to doubt my marriage. And I, you know, I had to talk to my wife about it. You know, of course I didn't, you know, my wife wanted to know what did she say, but I had to tell my wife, said, you know, I have to take a break from my mom because my mom is not speaking good words in my life right now.
Wow.
She's trying to speak negativity. So I can't change her mindset. Now, you know, you're dealing with somebody, you can't make them stop saying stuff. So the best thing for me to do is just take a step back from that negativity and not let it, because I was letting it influence me. And, you know, that was an attack.
And good words, because it can consume you.
Yeah.
And it'll take you out of your normal way of thinking.
Yeah, but I think the key is, you know, like the old adage goes, expect the unexpected. And I think that a lot of us, some are here, you know, on this line and some are not, but a lot of us are just out and about, you know, whistling and everything's cool. And then it's like, whoa, you know, you get caught up in something where unless you expect your marriage to be under attack, unless you expect that lady to hit on you at the grocery store or whatever, you have to sort of expect so you know how to react. And I think even P said this before, you know, the way you respond versus the way you react. You know, if you're walking expecting, you know, for somebody to holler at you or to get the attacks or whatever, then you're going to react differently versus if you're just standing there and she's just like, you're really cute. Oh, and I see you got your daughter there and everything. You know, I mean, you're going to be like, whoa, you know, my wife hasn't said I'm cute in, you know, the last 20 years. You know, you have to learn to just expect that the attacks, as Tony said, they're going to come. And they're going to keep coming. They're not going to stop coming, you know, because the devil, one thing, his main goal is to destroy the nuclear family. Once he does that, he packs his stuff and moves on to the next one. You know, so, I mean, we have to be careful that once he destroys the family, you know, that's when, it, you know, and we talked, and the brother talked about it earlier, about then it affects the children, then you just create a cycle. You know, then when they grow up, you know, they can't keep a marriage or a relationship because mom and daddy couldn't stay together. Daddy was a rolling stone or whatever the case may be. So we have to expect that we are trying to do the right thing. Of course the devil is going to be right there like, oh, yeah, yeah, I'm going to get you. You know, he's just waiting for the right opportunity to take you down.
And we have to be conscious of how it's going to come.
Yep.
And it's going to come in the form of something that we're familiar with.
Yeah.
Something that you know, if you are a crack addict, he's not coming at you with alcohol. That ain't going to do nothing for you. You know what I'm saying? He ain't coming at you with alcohol to that work. He coming at you with your drug of choice. If you a flirter, you're going to be put in a situation where you're going to flirt.
Yep.
If you like a lot of pornography, you're going to be getting emails. You're going to be getting – somebody going to come to you and be like, yo, there's this free porn site. Check it out.
Mm.
And you're going to be like, wow. And there you are. You see what I'm saying? So whatever it is that your drug of choice is how it's going to come. And I think that you have to be conscious that it's coming. It's just not a matter of that it's coming. It's just when and are you going to be ready for it? And is your marriage going to be able to survive it?
Yeah. And it's no coincidence. You know, it's like, how did I get this email?
But see, what makes it tough for me sometimes is the fact that what you're talking about then with regards to your marriage is, again, it's two people, not just one. So if we got this compound that we're supposed to be protecting, and I'm the only one trying to get all four corners of this thing at every lookout tower, because things aren't necessarily being where they need to be, and I've got to, you know, be patient and read the books with them and skip scab and all of that. I got to do all that. That makes it kind of difficult. Because when the attack comes, you're expecting the partnership. We're supposed to take this together, partner.
Yeah. But see, brother, that is the first attack right there, because too often we're focusing on what she doesn't do versus focusing on the things that she does do. For example, you know, now I know your wife. Now, I know you could put her in a room with 10 naked Denzels, and she won't do a thing. Am I correct?
Correct.
Now, some other brother, she may hit all 10 and come home and not say anything, but at least you got that. I mean,
I understand what you're saying, and I appreciate the fact that we would have that first wave or level of defense. But it's more than just locking the front door. You now got to get up and man the tower. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get what you're saying, and yes, right, that's great that she can get out the naked Denzel room unscathed. Got it. But you call the tower on the west side, because I'm on the east.
Mm-hmm.
I can't hit north, south, east, and west. I need you on the other side. Because when you think about the levels of your preparation and everything in life, it's not just basic like, yeah, we're going to put coins in our daughter piggy bank for a college fund. No, that's the first wave. So that you can teach her something and get her going, but you do the next step. And you have multiple layers. So all I'm saying is that it becomes hard when this attack is coming on the marriage in whatever way, and I got to just be comfortable with the fact that we putting coins in the piggy bank. That's
it. You got to start somewhere. And like you said, I mean, you're guarding the compound. Currently, you might be guarding the north, the south, and the east, but appreciate her for guarding the west. You know, and eventually she'll come to you if you're patient enough. She's like, I've got the west pretty much under control. Let me handle the east.
But that's when the attack gonna come. We all know that the attack ain't gonna come once we're prepared. We have full strength. The attack gonna come. So I guess what I'm saying is it becomes hard, increasingly hard at different points to sit there and wait for this patience and to come forth and be like, okay, I'm ready for more responsibility. No, why wouldn't you have that mindset to begin with from day one?
Because they're not men, and I think that's what I was trying to reiterate, is that we have to remember they're weaker vessels. We can't expect them to be on our level, period. And I think sometimes that we do, unfortunately, we do. We think I'm making sacrifices, you know, I'm making three sacrifices, you should make three sacrifices. No, they might be only capable of making one.
Well, and that's good words, and the point that I want to make is that, like I said, you know, you'll be tempted, you'll be enticed with your drug of choice. Your drug of choice in this instance is your wife, right? Now, that's the one that you want the most, that's what you want to work, your marriage, you know what I'm saying? Now, we go back to the beginning of time, who was tempted first? Who was attacked first? It was Eve.
Adam. Well, yeah, Eve. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Eve was attacked first.
Yeah.
You know, and Adam didn't know. He didn't. You know, he's the woman you brought to me. He made me eat this apple. You know, not thinking, well, what just happened to her? We've been infiltrated.
Yeah.
And now we're kicked out of the, you know, the kingdom. You see what I'm saying? And I think today, in the same sense, it could be coming from our wives. And somebody said earlier that if you have a wife that is around bad company, that is around family members that aren't doing stuff and coworkers that are trifling, it's going to affect your marriage. And those attacks come from all different angles. And they out in the world. See, we send them out in the world to go get money, go do whatever they got to do, better themselves. And they pick up stuff along the way that they bring back to the house. And it makes it harder for us to combat all of these things and still be a good husband. But the attacks, it's easy for them to be attacked because they can drive us crazy. Mm. And they'll beat us down at the knees.
But Adam did know.
Hmm?
Yeah, Adam knew, because if you read the Bible or study the Bible, it basically tells you, it says, for in the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die. So my question to you is, what is for there for? For is a foretelling of what was to come. So God told him even before it happened, he said, for in the day. So when this comes before you, for in the day that you eat thereof, he's telling them that he's going to do it. You see, he already knew.
Yep, I get that. He did know the consequences of eating that.
Absolutely.
Exactly. But he still ate it.
He still ate it.
Because it was presented by who?
His wife. You wouldn't want your wife to cut your back out.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, in the same sense, if she's under attack, and we know it exists because we've been under attack, there's been thoughts in your head of stuff that you don't even, crazy, the horrible thoughts that we all have, stuff that we're not even interested in, but just stuff that makes you think horrible things. You're like, where did that come from? So we all know that, you know, that attack exists. But we don't sit down and talk to our wives about, hey, what are you going through? What kind of things are going through your mind? Just like, you know, we talk about our marriage is great, but we still don't know what our wives are going through because we want to talk about the things that we're not getting, which I'm guilty of.
But, Tony, go ahead, Brian. Go ahead.
Have you ever had those kind of thoughts come to your mind when you're in praise and worship in church?
But, I don't know.
It's a question.
I mean, I've had thoughts come in my mind that shouldn't have come in my mind while I was in church, trying to steal my praise, trying to steal my word. Yes, I have.
But, okay, let me explain this to you, right? I'm not trying to get real spiritual on you. But the fact that it does happen while you're in church, what you have to understand is, you know, like anything, see, God can't allow you to go in with impurities in you. So what he has to do, he has to cause those impurities to rise to the top, to come out before you can go in. So don't think that it's bad. Don't look at it as a negative. Look at it as a positive. Because, see, if you see, it's like the Levites. They couldn't go in if they were unclean. See, it's the same with us in the spiritual. We can't go in if we're unclean. So God got a lot of things. Cause those things to come forth, come out, before you can go in. So don't let Satan steal your praise and keep you from praising.
Oh, I understand.
That
came to
your mind. Okay.
Yeah. Good word.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll say this, and Tony, we can actually tie this back to last week's topic where we were talking about, you know, protecting our house. And, you know, literally, I think that we came to the conclusion that a lot of the times, you know, our wives are, you know, out and about, whether it be at the mall or the Ritz or the grocery store, and they're not really thinking that somebody might run up on them, you know, and grab them or grab their purse or anything like that. Or, you know, like you say, your daughter, you know, she gets off the school bus and she's got her just iPod in and just walking down the sidewalk. They're not even thinking of the possibility of the attack. So you made a good point about how, of course, you know, the devil's like, this chick ain't even, you know, the head of household over there, he knows that I'm lurking, you know, and he's got his guard up and he's on the north, the east, and the west, you know, I mean, he's everywhere looking for me and, you know, just got everything and gun in the holster and ready to go. But the wife is just like, hello, how you doing?
La la la.
Just not even thinking about how the marriage can be under attack and she may be infiltrated, not even thinking about it.
Yeah,
well, we're
on
guard all 24/7, 365.
Yeah, yeah. And how did every, just about 99% of every great man fall?
Yep.
Think about it. What
Got
makes
him.
Us any different?
Got him.
Yeah. Every what nation. Makes us any different?
Yeah,
every nation or every war is started over later.
I'm just trying to say, what makes, I mean, you know, even, look, Mike Tyson, he was a good boxer. He went to jail for a rape that he said he didn't even commit, but it was a woman. And that was the beginning of the end for him. You see what I'm saying? So, people that we can identify with. So, we look at
Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods. The best that ever swung a golf club. Guess what? He ain't the same person no more because of what?
Got him.
Got him. Infiltrated. The devil's got one up right now. He's like, okay, well, guess what? We ain't got him. He's going to come at you with your drug of choice.
Yep. Molly.
I had to be quiet because I was going to throw that tomato at Rodney that he was talking about, right? So I had to be quiet earlier.
I was listening, but I couldn't say nothing, man, because that wouldn't have been nice.
Good words. Good words.
It always happens. Yep. You know, so I mean, and for me, through my personal situation, I had to stop and say, this is what I'm supposed to be looking out for. And it got past me because I didn't know what was happening.
Sure.
I didn't know what was happening. I'm mad. I'm ready to do whatever. You know what I'm saying? I'm ready to walk out, whatever. But over something small.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Something not even really, something that all it was took a conversation to fix. But here I'm off the deep end of something small. And I didn't even realize that the attack was coming on me through her.
Yep.
But the part we missed first and foremost is, man, is that in that, within exactly what you're speaking of, Tone, is that, you know, Satan does come in as an angel of light, right?
Mm-hmm.
He can come in as an angel of light, so his job is to deceive. So he brings the deception and cause you to believe that, you know, this thing is, irreconcilable. We can't fix this. This is a problem. I can't deal with it. So it's his job to bring deception, man. So
we just have
to be aware of his tactics. And once you fall for the okie doke once, you have to be wise enough to know that when you learn that lesson from what you fell from before, not to fall for the same thing again. You know what I mean?
That's right.
As they say, you know, the devil give you his best up front.
Yes.
That's right.
And you have to praise. You have to praise it when it happens.
That's right.
And because there's good information to know. Because I'd rather it happen and I know than not to know and sell the farm by mistake.
Yeah, that's right.
You see what I'm saying? And a lot of people have sold the farm by mistake because once that attack hit them, they did what? They jumped on that other side of that fence where the grass appeared to be greener. And then once they got there, they left their house, they left their wife, they left their kids, and now they hooked up with this next woman. And the next woman said, I never asked you to leave your wife.
So I never said it wasn't going to be hard work on this side of the fence either.
Exactly. Yeah. I never told you to leave your wife. You was better than me when you was married sneaking around. Now I don't want you.
And Tony, it, just like you said, you know, we can sometimes get to the point where we're about to walk out over the smallest thing, where even you look at that, you know, that nut on the side is, I mean, that's a little thing.
Yeah.
You know, and what comes after that, it's like, whoa, what just happened?
What just happened?
It can ruin, like you say, you selling the farm, you know, you dividing up the kids, it can get nasty.
Mm-hmm.
Over that little thing, you know,
little
she didn't
thing,
give me
small thing.
You know, I'm going out here and I'm going to find me something to stick it in. I mean,
And look.
Put back on the toothpaste.
And look, the conniving. Let me tell you how conniving it is. Through all of this, my little thing that I was going through, right? It's all recent. I run into this girl.
Of course you did.
On Facebook, right? And not just any girl, right? She was one of the keepers that I didn't keep. You see what I'm saying? I mean, down for whatever, whenever.
Mm-hmm.
And was fun. You could take her outside, nice on the eyes, the whole nine yards.
Take her outside?
Yeah.
Where's the keeper, man?
I mean, some guys have women on the side that you can't take outside. It's just it's what it is. A certain thing.
Oh, man.
You see what I'm saying? But now this is being thrown at me like, okay, and now that's not working, here's your alternative. You remember this one? Yeah, but no, I can't go there. You know, so I had to be bigger than the attack. And, you know, that's just my story. But, again, it'll come at you. And me and Rodney talked about it because he's also had people that out of the blue just pop up and be like, hey, what's up? How are you?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that always happens.
They do pop up at the time when you could potentially be at your weakest.
At your weakest.
And
you
see,
know, you're like,
see,
you know what, let
a,
me get a nap
get
and a Gatorade.
See, what I do is that, as Tony said earlier, I'm aware that the attack is coming.
Yeah.
So when I get the attack, even if we are in a rough spot, you know, whatever the case may be, I'm like, hey, everything's great at the home front. It could be awful, but I'm gonna tell her, it's like, yo, everything is fine. You know,
yeah.
We just moving on, and everything is glorious.
Yeah.
Because once they notice, she's not treating you right, I'll treat you right.
Mm.
Yeah. That's how it starts.
Yeah.
That's how it starts.
Yeah. And people don't. And the crazy part about it is people don't know that they're being used. They have no idea why they're in the situation that they're in.
Yeah.
Which is very hard to believe, but she doesn't know why she's calling you. All of a sudden, now she's looking up an old flame.
Mm. Wow, that's deep. That's deep.
You see that? She don't know.
She's a
they're just as innocent
devil.
As you. You don't know. You don't know you being set up, and she don't know she's the one being used to set you up.
That's right. And then you end up saying to yourself, "How did I get here?
How did I get here?" And then when everybody comes to, be like, "Man, we really shouldn't have done that."
Yeah.
Guess what? It's too late. The damage is done.
Too late.
You had to risk Carlton and with somebody that ain't your wife.
You got a
right.
banana in the tailpipe. You done.
Got a baby on the way.
a baby on the way.
Oh, man.
You know, and that be the day when you butt dial your wife.
Yeah.
And she hears the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So we got to stay as pure as possible. Because guess what? You know what I'm saying? Right now, we are the enemy. If we're strong and we're keeping our house together, we are the enemy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. With a target.
With a target.
Yeah.
With a target. Oh, that's deep.
That's true.
That's deep. But anyway, so we talked about the grass being greener on the other side. We talked about why we stay in it, the longevity of it. We talked about putting in 110%, getting back 50.
No, you didn't talk about what happens if you go and you bring a baby in the world.
Oh, what do you mean?
Jump over there in that green side because you think it's better over there.
Yeah,
when you begin a relationship.
Yeah.
And you're trying to now hold down two families at once.
Yeah.
And now you've gotten so comfortable where you're not being protective anymore, and you have now brought in a child into the situation.
Yeah. Wow.
I've seen that happen.
Wow.
This goes to show the grass may be greener, but it still needs mowing.
It still needs mowing. You ever hear about somebody going to jail, spending a lot of time in jail, then they're free, and then they do something just to get caught to go back to jail?
Yep.
Well, there's a lot of times when you're in a relationship, you know what I mean, and it's not like you're in prison, but the relationship is so bad that you cheat, and you cheat so you can get caught just so your wife will know that somebody else wants you.
That's deep.
Well, people do it all the time. I mean, make foolish
mistakes.
That
sounds like psychosis, man.
Yeah, but it is. But make foolish mistakes and get caught and be like, yeah, you know, in the back of my mind, I want her to know that somebody else really does want me if she don't want me.
Mm.
I mean, you hear about it all the time. You hear about people getting busted over dumb stuff.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
They had to know better. Yeah.
Bigger problems, yeah.
They had to know better, but they wanted to get caught because they wanted their spouse to know that somebody else wants them. And we talked earlier about acknowledgement being one of our hot spots. Wasn't that the word we used, acknowledgement?
Acknowledgement, yeah. And it's funny how it seems like that we get acknowledgement and praise. We get more of that outside of the home than inside of the home.
Thank you. Grass is greener.
There you go. I think you hit it. I mean, now you can go. You're dribbling with both hands now.
Listen to that.
Grass is greener.
Yeah, I'm at the back of my body now because you got the triple threat going on.
That's right. The grass is greener now. You can't acknowledge me. Guess what? I'm going to go find somebody that knows my existence.
I got to tell y'all a funny story. And this happened a long time ago, but I was in
It was when I had my firstborn, and she's almost 8 now. But we were in a parking lot, and I was, you know, carrying my baby. She was probably about 6 months old. And I was carrying her and putting her in the car and everything. And my wife was there, too, but she was on the other side of the car. And I got a little echo. Somebody got something going on.
Hang on.
Oh, much better. Thank you, sir. But anyway, long story short, is I was, you know, putting the baby in the car, you know, just doing my thing and everything, and the wife was there. But this woman from across the parking lot, like, she saw me with my daughter, and she ran across the parking lot. Like, oh, look at you. You out with your daughter. Look at that. And by the time she got up on the car, like, my wife was standing there, and she was looking at her, because I'm looking at the woman, like, don't run over here. My wife is right there. But, you know, and then, you know, she tried to play it off, like, oh, you know, she's so cute. And then she sort of, you know, slinked away, because, I mean, she had ran across the park. I was just putting my baby in the car. I mean, it was like, oh, you having a daddy-daughter day? And my wife is looking at this woman like, what, have you lost your mind? But she didn't see her. But it's so funny. But, you know, it's so funny. You know, just the littlest things. You know, so they watching.
They watching.
Be honest, Rodney, man. How'd that help your ego?
Oh, man, pumped it up, man. You know, pumped it up, bro. I'm like, yeah, you see that? You know, you see that? That's wifey, I told her, you know. I was talking about that. And she didn't want to talk about it too long. You know, she's like, that's just foolish, you know, who runs across a parking lot?
Man, I had that happen one day. My wife wasn't around at the time, but I was going to get in my car, and as I was coming downstairs in this building, we lived in a large, like, 400-unit building, and I'm in the elevator with these women who I guess are their maids, their service workers for some of the people, the elderly people that live up on the top floors. So we're coming down, I'm making conversation, being friendly, yada, yada, yada. I go outside, I'm going to get in my car, and then there's this tap on my shoulder. I turn around, it's one of these maids, and she's fine. I ain't gonna lie, she's fine. everything you've seen on the internet. And she gives me this card and a look, and I just said thank you, and I got in my car, and when I got to where I was going, I threw that away. But, man, it's temptation will find you.
Mm-hmm.
It finds, and one thing about me is because I got two girls, and, you know, y'all know me. I'll be out with them all the time. And just because I just like hanging out with them, and I'm not the type to, you know, be like, I got to run somewhere, I'm going to leave y'all home. I always ask if they want to go and everything. But, you know, I was in the grocery store with one of them, and, you know, this lady ran up on me and was like, you know, I own a dance studio. You know, your daughter should come dance with me. Here's my card. And let me give you my number. And I'm just like, what in the world? I'm in the bread aisle. You give me your number? I mean, you know, it's crazy. But you have to expect what we said earlier. You have to expect the attacks. And, you know, I just sort of laughed it off. And like the brother said, I threw the card away. I think I might have brought it home and, you know, gave it to the wife or something like that. But, you know, we laughed it off. But you got to be careful. You got to be careful.
Yep. Yeah, you have to. You have to. You got to know what's around that corner.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to know that what may appear to be going wrong in your marriage may not really be the issue, is what's going wrong. You know, and those are good words, Rodney. Good words. I'm glad you manned up on that one. And didn't say, hey, what's the address to your dance studio? We can come right now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, thanks, everybody. It's 11 o'clock. It's 11 o'clock. We are right on schedule.
Yes,
if anybody got anything else on the grass is greener, speak now or forever hold it. If you do not, we are going to flow this thing right in the open mic.
Yes, sir.
Anybody got anything? No. All right.